satisfy more than the richest of banquets. Your unfailing love is better than life.
It's astounding how little food the body needs and how much it craves. I learned that while learning how to fast. The lessons of fasting are hard to learn because they require self-denial, discipline, and an increasing measure of surrender to our Creator. There are those who have mastered these lessons, and I honor them, for I have never been as disciplined as they in this area. Even so, my comparatively feeble efforts have helped me understand a bit more about how our Creator deals with those who pledge allegiance to Him and enter His covenant of redemption. This brings up an uncomfortable series of questions. If we trust our Creator to redeem us from all the unpleasant consequences of this fallen world and our fallen hearts, do we trust Him to provide for our physical needs? If we're not willing to trust Him for our physical well-being, how can we trust Him with our spiritual well-being and our eternal destiny? And if we are afraid to trust Him for our physical and spiritual well-being, have we really pledged our allegiance to Him? If we have not, then why do we bother maintaining the appearance of being good citizens of His kingdom when we would much rather be doing things that bring tangible satisfaction in the here and now? That may be the stream of thought Messiah Yeshua was addressing in this section of His Sermon on the Mount. So I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly pursue all these things, yet your Father in heaven knows that you need all these. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yeshua said something similar to Satan, but from a different perspective. In that conversation, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Where is it written? It might be good to know that so we can understand the context of Yeshua's declaration to our adversary and his instructions to his disciples. As he does so often, Yeshua builds his teaching from the Torah God gave through Moses to his covenant nation of Israel. The part about not living by bread alone is in Moses' farewell speech in Deuteronomy. You are to take care to do the whole commandment that I am commanding you today, so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that Adonai swore to your fathers. You are to remember all the way that Adonai your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He afflicted you and let you hunger, then He fed you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. Neither did your clothing wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Now you know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so Adonai your God disciplines you. So you are to keep the commandments of Adonai your God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For Adonai your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of wadis with water, of springs and fountains flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, figs and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat bread with no poverty, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, So you will eat and be full, and you will bless Adonai your God for the good land he has given you. We could draw much from this passage about the intimate connection of the people, nation, and land of Israel. But it's enough for now to realize that the Promised Land is the spiritual home of all who have entered covenant with Israel's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That includes those of us from the nations who have pledged allegiance to Israel's Messiah, and in that way have come into relationship with Israel's God. That's why we take seriously the instruction to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city where Israel's God placed his name. It's also why we pay attention when Yeshua and his apostles reference Moses and Israel's prophets in their instructions about how to live in this kingdom into which we have been adopted. Moses said our Hebrew ancestors suffered hunger and other troubles because God was testing them. The apostles say he does the same for us. Our Creator and Redeemer has always tested the hearts of his people. His question of us is whether we are willing to trust and obey him even when there is no bread in our cupboards. In other words, are we in this kingdom quest simply for free meals and a life of ease? Or are we in it because we have linked our identity and existence to the King? We know how the tests worked out for those ancient Hebrews who took possession of the Promised Land. It seems the nation as a whole was more interested in the milk and honey part than in serving the God who brought them there. So, how are we different? Is our kingdom quest simply to get to heaven, however we define it, so we may be at ease for all eternity? Or are we seeking to be where the King is, so we can do what he created, called, and commissioned us to do? And just what is that commission anyway? Well, to go into all the world and make disciples, of course, which means telling all the people of every nation about this rich relationship we have with our Creator, and which they also can have simply for the asking. That's the same commission ancient Israel had. The Almighty didn't put Israel into the Promised Land just because he wanted them to have happy lives, but for a much greater purpose, so that through Israel he might manifest his glory to the entire earth. The nations would see his glory when they saw the well-ordered society of Israel, and how the people acted with love, kindness, and justice to everyone. That's the product of the commandments of the Lord. The nations of the earth are still waiting to see this manifestation of God's glory. That's why he's not finished with Israel, because it is only through Israel that we learn how God wants his people to conduct themselves. That's how he brings order out of chaos, just as he did when he transformed the earth from a formless void mass into a vibrant biosphere capable of supporting life. We are supposed to imitate that creative process by subduing the chaos of this earth and bringing it under cultivation, just as the Creator commissioned our first ancestors to do. Well, that's the reason he's bringing people into his kingdom. It's not simply so we can live happily ever after and grow fat, but so we can be the stewards of his creation as he intended all along. Can he really trust us with his creation if all we're after is the nice benefits, like an endless supply of bread? Perhaps what the King desires is to have a people who trust him, even if there is no bread.